Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So, of course, one of the big headlines of the election this year was Californians voting to pass Proposition 8, a ballot measure that changed the state's constitution to explicitly say that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, whatever you may think morally about the ballot measure, it constituted an MRI into the nature and the passions of at least one constituency in California, African-American voters. And here to talk about what the opportunities may be for conservatives campaigning in the state of California is New York Times op-ed columnist Charles M. Blow. He's in the studio. Charles, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it was a surprising result to many of us who maybe were kind of passively watching the California race and more focused on Barack Obama. But it probably came as no surprise to most African-Americans in California.
Yeah, I think African-Americans in general are much more conservative than people generally assume because of the way they vote for people at the top of the ticket. They vote overwhelmingly Democratic for the top of the ticket, both in the national elections and most times in statewide elections. But on moral values issues, they are virtually indistinguishable from Republicans.
In your piece with the New York Times, you bust a myth, though, that African Americans actually tipped the balance. It was more complicated than that.
It was. I mean, first, one thing that people, I don't think, realize is how small the percentage of African Americans there are in California. It's less than 7% of the population.
Oh, wow.
But because of all the pop culture coming out of California, and particularly out of L.A., it gets blown up and it feels like there are more people there. So if you take that relatively small number and slice it down by the number of people who may be actually registered to vote and then by the actual turnout, you get a minuscule
really
number compared to other populations. And so, you know, the best thinking now, if you do the math on it, is that the proposition would have passed, would barely pass, but would have passed even if all the African Americans had stayed home that day.
If you account for gender differences in African American voting, you come up with some really fascinating trends that maybe do constitute opportunities for conservatives more nationally trying to recruit African American voters. Talk about that.
Right. Well, in general, more African American women vote than African American men.
And that's a long-standing trend.
It's relatively long-standing. Yeah. I mean, I reference 2004 data from the Census Bureau where it's about 40-60, but it's been about 40-60 for a while. In California, if you believe their exit polling, it was a 50% difference and not a 40% difference at the way it is in a national poll. So you have this lopsided voting pattern anyway. In California, what appears to have happened is that the women were even more stridently for Prop 8 than black men were.
And you connect that with church participation between men and women, and you get some really interesting connections.
Right. I mean, blacks are more likely than whites to go to church anyway. In some surveys and polls, it puts it at about twice the rate. When you go to any black church and you realize that's mostly women. And so
you said it. I didn't.
Yes, I said it. And that church attendance kind of informs its very moral view, very conservative moral view. And I think that leads to a lot of their positions on these moral issues. And I think they become like the moral orbiters of the black community because of that church participation.
Yet the statistics on sexuality and other sorts of things create a certain set of puzzling contradictions within the community, so that even though you have a maybe female head of household, morally speaking, who leads with the conservatism, there are also other things going on.
Right. And what on the surface, it feels like quite a bit of hypocrisy, you know, or contradiction, as you say. But I think that what I try to make clear in the piece is that what happens on these moral issues is that if you stigmatize them too much, it basically pushes into the shadows and it starts to backfire. Instead of having open conversations about these issues, you have no conversations about these issues, and the issues don't go away. they just have more unprotected sex, or they engage in riskier behavior, and I think that's what happened.
So the statistic that even though most blacks find premarital sex unacceptable, that's Gallup data. Mm-hmm. But according to data from the Guttmacher Institute, blacks are 26% more likely than any other race to have had premarital sex by age 18. That's a sign of a debate about sexuality that hasn't happened yet in the black community and is going to start now.
One hopes or assumes that it will start now, but I'm not so sure about that. I mean, one thing that we see in the data is that of those 12th graders, the percentage of 12th graders going to church has gone up by 26%. So maybe they're becoming even more religious, not less. So I'm not sure that the trend is looking in a favorable direction. I think that maybe people are becoming more conservative as a result of this, these extraordinary numbers. But also the problem is that it's giving them the exact opposite effect that they want.
Right. Well, we'll see if there's a strategy there for politicians who want to exploit some of those interesting contradictions. Charles Blow, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.